Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is the reading from Hebrews chapter 7. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a great man this Melchizedek was, to use the language of the author of Hebrews. That is why in our house we have named our cat after him. Seriously, this passage from Hebrews makes clear that Melchizedek, whom we learn about in Genesis chapter 14, was a type of Christ. That is, he was a divinely ordained foreshadowing in the Old Testament era of the Messiah, the promised Savior. Going through the ways in which Melchizedek pointed ahead to Jesus is not just an academic theological exercise, however. These points of resemblance set forth a rich Christology, which has real meaning for you. Yet the discussion in our text leads to a consideration of more than how Melchizedek was a type of Christ. There are two other realities associated with this man which have great relevancy for your life. Regarding the aspects of similarity, Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. Jesus, of course, is the King of Righteousness with his saving, redeeming work, that is, with his life, death, and resurrection. He has acquired a righteousness for all. This he bestows on those he brings into his kingdom of grace, over which he rules. You have been clothed with this righteousness of Christ, so you, a sinner, are considered totally pure, clean, righteous for Jesus' sake. You are right with God, and so you have salvation, all on account of Christ. Melchizedek was king of Salem, and the name Salem is related to the Hebrew word for peace. Thus, Melchizedek can be regarded as king of peace. Christ's kingdom of grace is characterized by peace. You who are in the invisible kingdom enjoy peace and fellowship with God, and you have peace with other believers, with other members of this kingdom. This peace will be unbroken and unending. After this earthly life, it will continue forever in heaven and the new creation. The amazing truth is that King Jesus did not win this peace by shedding the blood of others, but by shedding his own blood. As Isaiah wrote, "The chastisement that brought us peace was on him." In the history of Israel, the offices of king and priest were separate. But the Canaanite Melchizedek, living before the nation Israel came into existence, was both a king and a priest. As a believer, Melchizedek was priest of the one true God, and evidently in Salem, which is short for Jerusalem, there was a sanctuary for God. So also Jesus was and is not only a king, but also a priest. And like Melchizedek, not from the tribe of Levi. Christ offered up the sacrifice which atoned for the sins of the world, namely himself. Israelite priests sprinkled the blood of the sacrifices on the people for their ritual purification. Christ, in essence, has sprinkled his blood on you, so that you, to borrow the phraseology of the Apostle Peter, have been cleansed from all sin. In the account in Genesis chapter 14, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Jesus blesses his people. This means not just praying for them good gifts from God, as did Melchizedek, but actually granting them. Every good thing that you have comes from Christ. Melchizedek received a tithe from Abraham, who recognized Melchizedek as a fellow believer and a true priest of God. No doubt, Abraham, from the plunder he recovered from the defeated kings, apportioned a tenth to Melchizedek for the sanctuary in Salem. Likewise, Jesus receives tithes from his people, the believers. Christ not only brought you to faith in himself, but through his word and supper, he motivates and enables you to serve him. One aspect of this service is that you willingly, joyfully give back to Christ just a small portion of all that he has given to you. Melchizedek, so to speak, was eternal, without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. For all its main characters, Genesis records a beginning and an end. Adam was created by God, and he died 930 years later. Terah begat Abram, and Abram died at the age of 175, and so forth. Not so with Melchizedek. He suddenly appears on the scene in Genesis 14, and no ancestry is provided for him. And then, after Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, nothing more is mentioned about him in the book. Genesis has no death notice for him. Now, of course, Melchizedek had a father and a mother. He was born and he died at a certain age. Figuratively, though, he was eternal, without beginning and end. So in that sense, he remains a priest forever. The divine nature of Jesus has no beginning or end. Further, Jesus as God and man in reality remains a priest forever. His sacrificial work, to be sure, has been completed. Christ offered up himself once on Calvary. He finished his redeeming work. However, he continues to function as a priest, and that he does now and will into eternity make intercession for his people at the right hand of God the Father, and teach his people and bless them. We understand Psalm 110, verse 4, where the Father tells his Son, the Messiah, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." You benefit from Christ's ongoing priestly work now and will in heaven and the new creation. He teaches you through his word, and he will use you to carry on his teaching ministry here on earth. Thus, the figure of Melchizedek presents a rich Christology, which has wonderful meaning for you. You might be thinking, okay, Old Testament prof, say amen and sit down. Yet there are two other realities associated with Melchizedek which have relevancy for your life. First, Melchizedek was not a physical descendant of Abraham. Rather, he was a native of Canaan. He was a Gentile. He had saving faith because all people go back to Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, a proclaimer of the gospel. For a while, the truth was retained by the various lines which descended from Noah. However, after a while, most of Noah's descendants lost the truth. Melchizedek, though, came from a line which still had the gospel down to the time of Abram. Melchizedek then stands as a reminder that from the start, God's plan of salvation involved not only the physical descendants of Abraham, but all people. And that also in the Old Testament era, God wanted his word to go forth to the ends of the earth. Not only Jews, but Gentiles too, could believe and be saved. Most of you in chapel this morning are Gentiles. God's salvation plan, as indicated by Melchizedek, has involved you. In addition, God will use you to take the gospel into the world so that all people, or that people from all nations, will be brought into the kingdom of Christ. Second, That Melchizedek stands as typical of Jesus, leads one to think of the foreknowledge of God. Sometimes the question arises, did Abraham recognize Melchizedek as a type of Christ? The answer, very possibly he did, but not in all the aspects that have been discussed this morning. For example, Abraham could not have known about the eternity of Melchizedek because the book of Genesis had not yet been written by Moses. Also, Abraham could not have appreciated, as we do, that Melchizedek was a priest, not of the tribe of Levi, and was both a priest and a king. God's institution of the Levitical priesthood came centuries after the events of Genesis 14, and Abraham did not know that in the history of Israel, the offices of priest and king were separate. But God, who knows everything that will take place, so arranged Melchizedek's life that in these ways as well, he was a foreshadowing of Christ. God did this for the benefit of future Israelites and for the benefit of present-day believers. God, in his total foreknowledge, before the creation of the universe, knew you and chose you for salvation. Further, God, before the foundation of the world, planned your life and what you would accomplish. As the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them." God will enable you to fulfill what he has planned for your life. We see what a great man Melchizedek was. He was great, though, only because of the working of God and only because he pointed ahead to a far greater man, Jesus Christ, also the Son of God and the Savior of the world. In his name, amen.